Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Test. Chest. 1, 2.
Testes.
1, 2, 3.
Ooh, nice. Like in Total Recall, but it's, instead of boobs, it's balls.
Oh, we got to be careful when we talk about that stuff. We'll get another bad review on iTunes.
About Total Recall?
No.
Did someone not like that? We always talk positively about Total Recall.
No. I'll see if I can pull it up. I'll read it.
Oh, you got a new one?
Oh, no. We got two ones. And
nice.
One is actually pretty regular just review. Just like, I don't like you. You guys, I'll see if I can find it.
I'm ready. Just like a casual dismissal, because I enjoy those.
Yeah.
I do appreciate more like indignant anger in the reviews.
Oh, there's one that is.
Indignant anger is sweet, but I do appreciate casual like just disdain.
Casual disdain.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I'll have to go through the reviews. See all.
I'm fucking ready.
You ready? Is your body ready?
I'm ready and excited.
Okay. Remember that guy who wrote the negative review and then had to go back like later and write another negative review?
I didn't miss. There was a two-parter. That's pretty sweet.
No. He like wrote it and then like later on he went and wrote another one.
That's what I'm saying. It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
He came back for
but it
more.
But it wasn't a sequel. I think maybe he forgot that he wrote the first bad review and then wrote a second bad review.
Maybe he forgot he listened to the podcast. He like listened to the podcast, got all mad and wrote his review, and then found us again, forgetting that he found us in the first place, and then did it again.
Well, this one is from from Discordian Utopia, who here's a hint. If you're going to leave negative reviews about people, don't use a username that could be easily Googled. You can find out who this person is. And he wrote, total garbage. Why anyone would think that this is good is beyond me. It's just a couple of bitter, racist, classist jerks hating on anything that isn't them. It's seriously the most sad and pathetic circle jerk I have had the pleasure of listening to. All right. I will give you bitter. I will give you jerks.
Classist.
I'm not classist. In fact, I think I'm of the low class.
Well, I mean, does he consider classist because we like, don't like the rich? Does that count?
Maybe. But I'm okay with that. But racist, sir. The only type of people that I hate are white people. That's the only type of
Italians.
Yeah. All white people. All white people. I hate them all. They ruin everything. You ever try to go to brunch, Steve?
No.
You know why? You never gone to brunch?
Because
white people ruin it for everyone.
I don't brunch. Why would I? That doesn't even make any sense. It's like
brunch is delicious, Steve.
But I've already eaten by then.
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you sleep in.
No, I don't. I get up at 5:15.
Sometimes you're like, you know what I'd like to drink at 11 o'clock in the morning? Alcohol.
No,
just
I don't.
Hard alcohol mixed in with a juice of some kind.
I don't say that. I'm not like that. I've never done that.
Some vodka and orange juice together would be good. Maybe you know what I'd like? Champagne and vodka.
Champagne. A mimosa.
Champagne and a little bit of orange juice put
a
together.
Mimosa.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I want.
How can you call yourself a Discordian and not be into the chaos that we produce?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
He needs to rebite his golden apple.
That was the negative review on that one, which I would agree if he didn't put in the... I don't understand why he says we're racist. That's the part that it bothers me more than anything. I'm like, you don't like the podcast, that's fine, but don't be going and saying things that aren't true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lame one. Not a fan. I like the ones where they're just like blisteringly angry and like incoherent. That guy was just spewing falsehoods.
This is my other
not
favorite.
Not a fan.
Favorite
Zero
one.
Out of ten.
This is Chip Chuck.
Chip Chuck, nice.
Chip Chuck.
That's a good one.
Can't really find out anything about him because he's got a pretty generic username. But he says, you'll get about 6 minutes of game-related talk in an hour of podcast. Not for me. I'm like,
that's a fair review.
That's a fair review.
And accurate.
However, never ever have I said that we are anything informative about gaming.
Also, I think 6 minutes is being generous.
It's being very generous. Very, very. Actually, I got some gaming related stuff right here.
Ooh.
This is non tabletop gaming related, but I got these for Pat because I was at Half Price Books.
Ooh.
And I saw these.
And should I spoil what this is?
Oh, he already knows. He already knows. I said it to him. These are
Electronic Gaming Monthlies.
Vintage EGMs.
Yeah, this one is from 92. Magic Sword EGM previews the latest mega hit for the Super NES.
Someone had obviously a collection. He was like, you know what? I'm going to hold on to these EGMs because they're all about Street Fighter.
Are they all Street Fighter?
Look at this classic Game Pro.
Oh, no shit. They're all just Street Fighter.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's why I got it for Pat because I knew he liked it. And also,
that makes sense.
This one, which is a classic cover.
Oh, Mortal Kombat 2. Nice.
Yeah. I had this issue back in the day. I was going through these. I was like, God, video game magazines were amazing back then. Like, you could just go through it and you just look at, like, playthroughs.
Video game magazines were interesting back then because, like, covering video games was more interesting because you didn't know and nobody knew. That's why you would get blown out because you'd go and buy a game that sucked.
It's true. It's very true.
It's a lot harder to... It's more likely that you will buy a game... It's more likely now that you will buy a game that you don't like and declare it sucks and is a bad game, but is not actually a bad game. It's just not to your taste. That's far more likely to occur now
than actually buying a bad game.
Yes, minus going into like a weird like indie hole of like, you know, like itch.io where there's just like random crap up.
Yeah,
or
like on a Steam sale, going, you know what, this might be interesting.
Sure. So minus the games that are like clearly possible shovelware.
Yeah.
Before, you know, in the halcyon days of the 90s, like...
The Wild Wild West?
You
Wiki
bought...
Wiki Wiki Wild Wild West?
You had a... I don't know if to say...
Jim West.
It's a good chance, but you definitely had a chance of buying a game that was just dross. Like, possibly nigh unplayable, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on NES. Actually an unplayable game. It just doesn't work. Like, half the features of the game fail. Yeah, so things like that. Like, that was back then. And that's why I think video game magazines were more exciting, because also the frequency of games was way smaller.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there were a shit ton of games that have been released for the, you know, classic consoles, but, like, compared to now, it's not even close. There's a bajillity billion games for fucking every system already, not even counting Steam.
I've been playing the Super Nintendo, the SNES Mini, and they must have done something to it, because the graphics are completely different than the actual SNES graphics. Because I was like, these graphics look way too pixelated.
Wait, what is it? What were you playing?
The SNES Mini.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, these graphics look way too pixelated.
Yeah, because they're on a HDTV.
No, because I plugged in my original Super Nintendo, and the SNES graphics were nowhere near as pixelated as what... So they must have done something in the ROM.
No, it's HD. What you need to do is you need to turn on... There's viewing modes. There's panel lines. There's...
But how is it that I put in my original Super Nintendo and it looks completely different?
Because your original Super Nintendo is not broadcasting it in an HD signal.
So the SNES is broadcasting it in the Mini is broadcasting it in an HD signal.
Yes.
I see what
that's,
you're saying.
That's why they have all the overlays so you can change the visual look. You can do like the anti-aliasing. You can There's screen lines that make it look like an old...
Is this in the actual SNES mm-hmm. Mini?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, there's visual options
I learned something today.
Mm-hmm. The more you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, Spanky's Quest.
Steve's falling down a nostalgia hole.
Spanky's Quest. No, this is a game. This is a classic game. This is a game I rented. I was like, I'm super excited to play this game, and then I didn't like it.
It was terrible.
I wouldn't want to say it's terrible, but I didn't.
That's how you
feel
about Bonk's Adventure as well?
I loved Bonk's Adventure, so... Yeah.
All right, we got to put these away, otherwise you're going to be sitting here reading these on the...
Magic Sword!
Magic Sword!
Oh, man, this preview is dope. I'm just glad I got to see this preview before Pat did. Now I know all about Street Fighter 2 before Pat.
Well, I mean, I just love it because it's like 15-page EGM preview Super and Street Fighter 2 for Super NES.
It's good.
Plus special photos of the new Street Fighter arcade game, which is, I believe, just Super Street Fighter 2.
I think at that point it would be... No... Because that would be...
Championship Edition?
Hang on. Because it goes Street Fighter 2, then Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, then I think it's Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting. I can't keep track. There's so many fucking Street Fighter 2s.
There's so many Street Fighter 2s.
There really is.
I don't know. Pat's got them all in one arcade cabinet.
Which is such a shame.
Don't tell him that. You know what? Just be happy for him.
I've told him that repeated times. I've told him it's great that there's a stand-up machine that he has that has Street Fighter on it, and I think it sucks that it's fucking three copies of Street Fighter 2.
Oh, wow. Look at this. They have... it's Champion Edition. But they have the making of, so they have all of the actual, like, sketches of how these people originally looked.
Nice.
So Blanca was originally a dude wearing a tiger mask.
There you go.
Yeah. You learned something today. Whoever did this looks like the type of, like, the kids who draw anime in my classrooms. Like, they're the little kids, the kids that sit in the back and draw, like, the anime. Like, there's a lot, it's usually girls who draw the anime guys and, like, with the, which is
the Bishonen.
It's just, it's a little too off. It's like, you, it's like, ah, oh, you're almost there. You almost got it. It's just, like, this looks terrible. That's what it looks like in there. All right. So, anyway, that was our gaming 6 minutes right there. So, actual tabletop.
Not even about tabletop
not
games.
Not even about tabletop. Let's talk tabletop games. Steve got something.
I got several somethings.
You got...
Which one?
The Warhammer RPG?
Oh, yes. Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay.
You got the Wythrop?
Fourth edition.
The fourth edition?
Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about it?
It's... So, third edition never happened. The goofy, like, Fantasy Flight board game kind of... bajillion components proprietary dice.
Yes.
This is an advancement on second edition, which was, in fact, an advancement on first edition.
By Hogshead.
So, this is still D100.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's classic. It's got all the job classes as, you know, as per usual.
Can I be a rat catcher?
You can.
Nice.
Rat catcher is one of the jobs.
I love third edition. Or second edition. Second edition was amazing.
Yeah, this is a better version.
This is a better version?
Yeah, it's a better version.
Are they going to release the supplements for it like they did for second edition? Because those supplements for second edition were awesome.
Presumably, yes. Right now, there's just the only SKUs are the core book and there's a starter thing. The starter thing has an adventure.
Yeah.
But presumably, there will be adventures.
I would play
and
the fuck out of like the Karak, the dwarf one that they have. Because I have it at home, the original second edition, and I read through it, and it is fucking awesome.
I mean, I don't actually know how much conversion you'd need to do second edition
with
content
the fourth
for this,
yeah.
But there's probably enough that where it would there's probably enough where you'd run into some issues, so you would need to do like a lot of work in advance.
Please name one DM who would do that work in advance who just wouldn't go meh.
Depends on what game. Depends on what you're running.
Depends on meh.
It depends on how much work it costs. It's see that's the thing. Is the ad hoc at the time makeup bullshit actually more effort than the prepare in advance? Because sometimes it is.
Yeah.
And that's the key. You need to have that. You need to be at that level where you're always at whichever is lower effort.
Well, no. Actually, there's also that balance of it's like the guy who's doing this. It's like you're doing this just to be a dick, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna look at the actual rules to see if you could do this.
And give me a cheat.
Then you look at the rules and you're like, you roll the dice behind the book and you're like, oh, that was a critical fail. And the guy's like, let me see the dice. And you're like, no.
No.
My dice.
I actually very frequently roll my dice out in the open so everyone can see. Because I roll, like, normally my luck and everything is mediocre to bad. Except when I'm DMing, my monsters are fucking gods. Like, I have had multiple combats where every one of the enemies... Critical. Just 20, 20, 20. And I'm switching dice. Like, I'm just like, 20, throw this dice. That's crit. This is crit. It's crit. It's crit. Like, if somehow I could monetize my ability to be a brutal DM via pure dice luck.
I tell you, man, you could probably sell your services to be a rent a DM, and you could do some decent money.
That's actually a thing. It was happening for a while. I don't know if it's still going
on. I'm saying you could, because you actually have the look of a classic DM. A little overweight. You got the big beard. You just got to show up with, like, your books and your dice, and you got it set. Mm-hmm. If you showed up in a van with the wizard on the side...
If you showed up
with a DM van...
I do want a DM van. No, see, I don't show up with the DM van. I show up because we're going to play in the DM van.
Yeah, I mean, I like that concept, too, but I'm just saying, if you showed up with the DM van, and the door opened up and a bunch of smoke came out... I'm not saying what kind of smoke. I'm just saying smoke just billowed out.
So what kind of wizard do you think? Do you think... Because there's... And I'll hear arguments, but do you think, like, classic, like, stars and comets robe moon hat wizard or buff wizard, like, shirtless turbo buff wizard, but still with white beard and pointed hat?
I would go with either. I'm okay. I like the classic of the robes with the stars and the comets and the all that fun stuff on it, the moons.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that, but I'm also a fan of the super buff wizard as well.
Just a greased up wizard.
Yeah, the homoeroticism gets me in a lot of ways. I'm a big pro homoeroticism fan, as people on this podcast will know.
Yeah.
I'm all about that. I would also like it if it was like an amber wizard. So like the druid. Like I would like a druid.
Oh, like lots of like fern and ivy and shit.
Well, not just like a like forest, and maybe like a henge, like a stone henge.
He'd have to have the antler crown.
Yeah, antler crown or you know, something similar. You know, it doesn't have to be antlers. It could be vines.
It doesn't have to be antlers, but it's got to be in the shape at least.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah,
and maybe with a girl holding onto his leg.
Oh yeah, with the Frazetta pose.
The Frazetta pose, yeah. That's what I would be okay with. But if you did that, like, that would be the thing. It's like those guys who put out on Craigslist that they're looking for a dad to just grill at their barbecues. You know, all he's going to do is sit there and drink a beer and flip the burgers for them. Like, that's what you got to do. Like, you got to be the DM who rolls up. It's about the theatrics of it, not necessarily what you're doing. You have to give them that classic 70s, 80s DM
for sure.
Feel.
And I'll pull up with Someday Love Will Find You. Just blasting.
Break those yes. who find
either that or Rush.
I think Rush might be a little better.
Anything Rush.
But the I think Ready Player One might have killed it with Rush because they did a little bit too much with that.
They did overdo it with Rush.
If you had to pick a Rush song, what would it be?
I think...
You're going to go classic Tom Sawyer?
The Trees.
Oh, The Trees.
Yeah.
Oh, the trees. That's going a little deep cut.
I'd go
classic Tom Sawyer just because you're playing against people.
But, see, that's the thing. I'm going to roll up and I'm going to be playing The Trees and they're going to know it's Rush, but they're not going to know what song it is. It's going to add to my DM cred.
It's a little bit. I think you got to, for the theatrics, Tom Sawyer, because these people are so... you know, they're normies. They're not gonna.
So maybe what I could do is I could time it so that as I'm pulling up, The Trees is ending and Tom Sawyer starts. Like, it's just like the last few bits of The Trees, and then Tom Sawyer starts blasting. Oh. So they hear The Trees until the van opens
and then they're.
Yes, then it opens to Tom Sawyer.
Yeah.
See.
Today's Tom Sawyer. Hey, God, hi. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah. That works.
All right,
I love Rush. Rush is so great.
Yeah, Rush is pretty sweet.
Actually, I take that back. I like the best of Rush. I can't listen to all of Rush.
Yeah, the best of Rush is pretty sweet.
It's too much for me. Too much. So, Whiff Rip, how are you feeling on it? You feeling like it's worth it?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I think if you're a fantasy roleplay fan and you're looking to play a bit more of a... It's not streamlined as much as just improved, which I do like.
Is it still crunchy like the old one? The old one, and I remember second edition being real crunchy.
It really doesn't have anything different in terms of like the base complexity. It has some optional rules where you can make a few things faster with like one of them I really like, which I'm going to be using is for success levels, which is normally in Whiff Rip you roll a skill test versus your appropriate skill, and then when you score a success, the difference in the tens place and your skill gives you that many success levels. So for example, if your skill is a 70 and you roll a 10, you have 6 success levels.
Okay.
But you have to remember what your skill is and you have to go. And I don't know if modifiers count. I'm not 100% sure. I believe they do. So like it can get a little like mathy.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little crunchy.
But one of the optional rules that they presented, which I will absolutely use because I think it's phenomenally smart and a little more cool feeling to me, is instead of doing that, when you do a successful test, whatever your number in the tens place is your success level. So it gives you a, as your skill improves, it gives you a better, instead of always wanting to roll low, because you always want to roll a 10 or whatever, this one you always want to roll as close to your skill as possible. Because your skill is going to be 30, 40, 50, 60. So when you roll a 50... or even a 60 and still pass, that's a plus 6 success level. I like the feel of that a little bit more because it's like you're hitting your skill like precisely. So then your skill bonus goes up accordingly, which I like. It works out to be essentially the same. Like there's not a very big appreciable difference between you rolling a 10, subtracting that from your skill, and then making that the success level, or just having what you've rolled as a success be your success, other than a lot of speed.
Yeah.
So I do like that a lot. They've added some things that make combat better, more interesting. Because like if you've played a lot of Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, one of the issues that you might have encountered, I'm pretty sure everyone will, is the whiff fests of the early game.
Everyone's constantly
missing because all of their skills are like 35 or 40. You just whiff. So they have a brilliant system in this game that I don't think was in second edition. If it was, I completely missed it. but it's called Advantage. And in combat, there's a bunch of things you can do to gain advantage. And the GM is supposed to give you a token or a card or something to represent your advantage. Every point of advantage you have gives you plus 10 to whatever combat tests or anything you make in combat to test.
Yeah.
So if you have an advantage of plus 5 and your weapon skill is 35, you effectively have a weapon skill 85.
Oh, nice.
So you get an advantage for surprising an opponent. You get an advantage for charging. So like when you charge in, you get advantage for there's various things like anything like you can ad hoc advantage too. So like you could be like I throw oil behind the goblins and throw a torch to cut off their retreat. So like I'm gonna be like, well, that's not gonna do any damage to them, but I will give you advantage because of that and maybe make them take like a psychology test or something.
I think that the only thing that the actual Warhammer Fantasy role-playing really needs to do is it needs to reward people for trying to kill their characters, because that's what Warhammer Fantasy was back in the 10 years ago. It was like every book that you ever read, the people died. It was everything people just died. Like, you're going to play a troll. I'm going to play a troll slayer. Okay. Well, if you've survived two rounds and you've survived two sessions of this game, you're the worst slayer ever.
So surviving that's one of the things I like about this game is that it is, you do like combat is super dangerous. The gameplay is dangerous. And, your characters do essentially have, an hourglass running on them. Cause they have, there's a system called, it's Fortune and Favor. And then
Fortune Glowy.
The other is
That's racist.
The other is resilience and resolve. So it's fortune and fate. So your fate points are like big, like so what they are, the reason there are two things is there's one is the total number of points you have and it caps the other. So if you have 3 fate, you also have 3 fortune. You spend fortune. Fortune replenishes at every game session, no matter what. When you spend fate, it's permanent, so it goes down. So if you have 3, you go to 2, and then the other pool respectively drops as well. Fate lets you do things like avoid your character dying. Like literally, you burn a fate point, and your character does not die. They're instead you can. There's 2 options. You can choose, my character is incapacitated. You can choose that, which is you go down. Through some circumstances, you are out of the fight, but you're alive. But you're removed from the fight. And that could result in you, say if you were fighting on a river, you could have washed away in the river, or like you could have been captured. So on and so forth. There's a bunch of different ways to do that. That's the first one. The other is if a blow would knock you out, like if you'd go below, if a number of incoming wounds would take you down, you can ignore that attack.
Oh, okay.
But that's a
you're still in the fight.
You're still completely in the fight because you don't even take the damage.
Yeah.
But you that's it. You only ignore that one strike.
Well, and maybe you shouldn't have tried to attack Archeon level 2 character.
And then combat keeps going, but those points are finite. So like once you've spent your fate points, if somebody hits you with a critical, because the criticals in this game are the deadliest fucking thing. Like
they're super deadly.
Like if you roll. There's 2 types of criticals. There's critical hits, and then there's critical wounds. Critical wounds are what critical hits do, but there's 2 ways to get them. One is your opponent scores a critical hit. The other is you take damage over your wounds, because you never go to negative wounds in the game. But whatever you would, whatever your negative wound score would be, is it does matter, because if that is your toughness or higher, you have to take the full test. If it's your toughness or lower, you apply a minus 20% penalty to their roll. So you can't be killed. You can't be one-shotted, I should say. Because if you roll double O on any critical, any of the criticals, double O, it's instant death.
instant death.
You're just
death.
Just fucking dead. Like, you're dead.
Yeah. Which is, and I think that's great, and that I think works for the setting. Don't you love it that Games Workshop, now in the world of Age of Sigmar, has produced two games that are back in the fantasy world, as well as many multiple mobile games that are the fantasy world as
well.
Well,
they're doing it right. Like the minis game they're pushing is the game they want to push, but they still have a very good IP with the world that was. Yeah. And it's great for games like Total War.
Yeah,
it's awesome for games like Total War. The game is super fun. Yeah. It's good for fantasy roleplay. They're also doing an Age of Sigmar roleplaying game, which I assume will be nothing like Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. I imagine it will be very sword and sorcery, D&D style, like murder hobos.
I would hope it would be more like Vampire the Masquerade.
That makes absolutely no sense. Vampire the Masquerade is back, by the way. There's a new edition.
Ooh, is it in POG form?
No, it's in collectible hardcover form, I guess.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, Vampire the Masquerade. I am a Stormcast. I'm just gonna hit things with my hammer.
I'm actually looking forward to seeing that game. I want to know how it's gonna play.
Be interesting.
I think it's gonna be very murder hobo, because if you think about how the world works, like, or how the worlds work in Age of Sigmar, like it's basically like,
well, the world don't move.
You played Diablo 2, right?
No.
You haven't played Diablo 2?
Nope.
The second Diablo. Never played it.
I was getting laid when that game came out, man.
And you weren't also playing Diablo 2?
No, I was not playing Diablo 2. No. I don't know when that game came out.
Like 98?
Yeah, I was a freshman year of college. I was focused on other things at that time.
97? I don't know. Maybe it was 99. I don't know. Someone's going to know. Someone listening knows off the top of their head.
Whatever, nerds.
Have you played the first Diablo?
No, I've never played the first Diablo. I didn't have a computer that could run Diablo.
It all's coming together now.
Diablo Canyon 1? Why can't you act more like Diablo Canyon 2?
All right. So that kind of throws my analogy out the window. I don't know. Whatever. So you have it's very much you have a town, and the town literally does exist in a vacuum. So like when you leave the town, you go to a portal and you go to somewhere bad and you fight things and you go back to the town to be safe.
Oh, okay.
Like that's Age of Sigmar. Like that's how Age of Sigmar is. Like that's like the plane of Akshi, the fire plane. It's completely dominated by Tzeentch and Khorne. Like there's no safe settlements. Like the only
Hammerfall Akshi. Hammerhall Akshi.
Yes. That's the whole part. The first arc. Them bringing settlements back. But what I'm saying is, like, if you start your game at the start of the Age of Sigmar, like,
yeah, there's nothing safe. You end up with, you have to go through the portal and you have to secure the portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do for that game.
And you have to fight Korgasku.
I imagine it'll be a very cool, like, adventuring thing. Cause like Shadespire and stuff is like adventuring bands leaving wherever their home is and like taking the arcane portals to like go places. Yeah. So it's kind of exciting.
The realm of death.
It definitely seems like it'll be more. I think it'll be the most D&D. Out of the any of the Warhammer games, which makes sense. It makes sense for Age of Sigmar to be that like high fantasy, like we're going
He-Man.
On a fucking He-Man. Yeah. It makes sense to be He-Man. Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay is not He-Man. If you try to play as He-Man, you're gonna die fast.
You have to play it like you're in the 15th century and you have the plague.
Yeah, because
the plague is all around you.
That whole thing I was telling you about advantage, that applies to players, also applies to the enemies.
Yeah.
So if combat starts going against you and their advantage starts stacking up, you're gonna get fucked.
Yeah. You're gonna die from rats very quickly.
Yeah.
What else new did you get?
Then you get Boobos. I got this.
You got Call of Cthulhu.
Yeah, I got
Cthulhu.
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 I got Call of Cthulhu.
What is that? Is that the rule set?
This is the starter set.
That's the starter set.
This is brand new. It just came out.
It just came out. Eh?
Yeah. It came out this week, I think.
Oh, book one: Introduction and Alone Against the Flames. Book 2, Call of Cthulhu Rules Set. Starter rules. Book 3, Adventures, Ready-Made Investigators, Blank Investigator Sheets, Role-Playing Dice, Handouts. Adventures, Alone Against the Flames, Edge of Darkness, Dead Man's Stomp. Oh, I've played Dead Man's Stomp. That's a fun one. Paper Chase. Oh, that's cool. That's pretty cheap, too. Yeah, I like it. I dig it.
And then I also grabbed the 7th edition core books, the Investigators book and the Keeper rulebook.
Yeah.
And Call of Cthulhu is an interesting game. I didn't realize this, but I don't want to be so bold as to say every edition, but many editions are just fully compatible with the previous editions.
Yes.
So like this 7th edition Keeper book is like all you would really need to buy if you want to upgrade your game, because all of your supplements are still good.
Yeah.
And then That's it. And then they release new supplements for 7th edition.
Yeah, I think when was the last major? I think the last major change was like, maybe it was 6th was the last major change.
Yeah. Yeah, this one's similar. This one's very similar to 6th.
Because 5th wasn't, well, and 6th and 5th aren't even that different. But, and 5th is compatible, I know, with 4th. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of weird. You just kind of got to look at it. Most of the time for Call of Cthulhu, you could really, for if you're going to run the modules, which I do recommend for Call of Cthulhu, because unless you are really, really good at coming up with horror stories, the modules are good enough.
There's actually a secret to doing your own fly-by-night Call of Cthulhu stories.
Yeah.
Don't write a Cthulhu story.
Yeah.
Just write a story about something, and then at the end, put a Cthulhu in there.
Fly-by-night away from here.
So it's like, do a detective story. Like watch... Okay, here's an easy one. Watch the film The Maltese Falcon.
Yes.
Just watch that movie. Now, spin a way for your characters to play in The Maltese Falcon. Except in the end, The Maltese Falcon is actually a fucking shrine to Nyarlathotep. Now put those things together. Boom. You've got a really good Call of Cthulhu story.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
It's actually not hard. You don't need to be great, but what you need to do is you need to be able to pull the right things or anything. Because basically any noir film, even the bad ones, will still give you a decent... feel for how you should be running your game. I don't like Call of Cthulhu in any other era other than the 20s.
Yeah, it's got to be the 20s.
I mean
Cthulhu by Gaslight's not terrible.
It's okay, but like I like the idea of the Tommy gun. Like,
yeah.
I like the hard-boiled... I like throwing the hard-boiled detective into the mix. Like, he's like, I don't care what you book-learned idiot says. I got a Thompson that's got another word to speak to him.
Quiet, you or I'll box your ears.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
You see the gams on that dame?
Bum-bum.
And then you could be super sexist, and it'll be okay.
Well, we can't be sexist. We've been called out on being sexist.
Super sexist. Not regular sexist.
Oh, okay.
Super sexist.
Okay, that works.
Hey, dame, stop yapping your gums, and why don't you go get me a cigarette, eh? See? It'd be fun.
And you get to use racist words from the 1920s, because it was okay back then.
Yeah. I don't think it was really okay back then.
It was not okay back
then.
Yeah,
I think there was a lot of people who used it was not okay.
It's just like now there's a lot of people who use it.
And it's not okay.
But they think it's okay.
Yeah, they think it's okay.
Yeah.
It was never really okay.
No.
You mean, good people never did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they never did.
You know who did that? H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah. In case you haven't heard of H.P. Lovecraft's incredible racism, just Google H.P. Lovecraft's cat.
No.
That is your homework, dear listeners. Just Google H.P. Lovecraft's cat. That's all you need
When I first looked into it, I was like, he can't be that racist. And like,
did you then Google H.P. Lovecraft's cat?
Because I was like, at the time, it was like... You know, it's at the time people were all racist, and then I like read into it, and his peers and friends were like, "Dude, you got to cut it out with the racism."
Yeah.
And he's like, "What?"
Yeah, super racist.
Yeah,
definitely.
Racist because he literally knew no better. But even people who knew no better back then weren't that bad.
Yeah,
like he just was. He was really
he ran with it.
He ran with it. He was insular. He was very, you know.
Yeah, it was not cool.
Yeah,
his work's pretty cool. The dude, little sketch.
I was reading an article about how Vermont is paying people like $20,000 to move to Vermont and work from home, telecommute to work from Vermont.
Why?
Because they're looking to get younger people to move to Vermont.
Okay.
Because Vermont has a lot of old people. I was like, fuck, I'd love to live in Vermont. My wife's like, we're not moving to Vermont. We don't know anybody in Vermont. I'm like, but we could live in the Northeast. We could be like Stephen King stories, be in Vermont. It's not as crazy as being in Maine.
Pet Sematary?
Yeah. And she's like, no, you are not moving to Vermont. But I'm like, Pikmin's Model takes place Vermont.
I love Pikmin's Model.
Not Pikmin's Model. What's the one with not the color of the stars. It's the one where
the thing from space. The polyp. Is it the flying polyp?
It's the one with the maybe it's that one. It's the one with the brain in the jar. The brains
know.
In the jars. I think whatever. That I think that one takes place in Vermont.
Who's gonna believe a talking head? Go get a job in a sideshow.
Oh yes. Is there anything else aside from that?
See, Call of Cthulhu, got that. Got the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay.
So you got a lot of role-playing stuff. You got to actually start playing some role-plays. Playing some roles.
I got to play some roles. And then, I've been attempting to conquer my my miniatures.
Dun, 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 dun,
it's been
dun.
A battle.
You know what, Steve? Some people like to fool themselves to think they're going to get all their models painted.
I think I'm actually going to finish with a lot of time to spare.
Yeah.
As long as if I keep my pace, yes.
That's some bold braggadocio right there.
Well, the key, and I believe I've solved the key, is I just need to spend at least an hour a day. I think if I spend at least an hour a day, the shit will start just like appearing.
That's a good amount of time to spend painting a day. I can't. I wish I could. But like sometimes I'll paint for like 4 to 5 hours a day, and then I'm like the next day I'm like I can't paint anymore. I'm painted out.
Because again, like I said, after I had boldly proclaimed that I will have no unpainted models by the end of the year, I actually like looked at like my full collection, and I'm like, I actually don't have that many models. I was like, this is probably gonna be.
Probably have more squats than you have entire models.
I'm like, this is probably gonna be easier than I thought. The most difficult thing is gonna be getting all the Star Trek minis and my Fallout minis assembled because they're resin, and I fucking hate building resin models. I can't stand it. It's the worst.
Are you gonna build a little diorama for your Star Trek guys, like a little like
no
moonscape?
No. Actually, they all have a bunch of them have like a specific basing, which I thought was kind of cool. Like the Klingon bases are all that like Klingon great for their floorboards. I don't even know what that is.
That's the Klingon theme from Star Trek 3.
Very good.
Yeah. Or yeah, 3.
Is that the one Christopher Lloyd?
Yes.
It's pretty cool that he was a Klingon.
Yes.
He was also Big Boutet. I think in the same year.
Might have been. 80. Well, no, 84 was... No, wait, I think it was 84 was Search for Spock.
Yeah. So I think it was also the same year as Buckaroo Banzai.
One of my favorite facts about the Klingon language and the guy who wrote the Klingon language and everything, he was on set during that. And Christopher Lloyd was really intense about learning the Klingon language. And then so he would like learn it and then do all the pronouncements. And then he would screw it up and he'd be like, oh, I got to do that again. I screwed it up. And they'd be like, no, he just would like write in his journal. He'd be like, no, that's actually the way it's pronounced now. Just go on with the scene. We're not going to do it again. Yeah. But yes. So the we're getting close in there. I actually.
That's a good one.
What, Star Trek 3?
I think it's an underrated movie.
It's rough. It's rough around the edges.
It is. Well, I mean, all the Star Trek movies are rough around the edges. Minus Khan. Like, that movie's just great.
Yeah.
But I think 3...
I think 6 is...
I think 3 is underrated.
It's a little underrated. People are not a big fan.
I think people hate on it more than it deserves. It is not as good as 2, but again...
I think 3 and 5 are both underrated.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And I think all the original series movies are good, except for Generations, but that doesn't really count.
Generations is
terrible.
Generations has part of a good movie.
Why are they riding horses, Steve?
It has part of a good movie in it. Like, there are parts of Generations that are genuinely good.
No, there are not.
Yes, there are. There are parts that are good.
No, stop defending Generations.
Basically all the way up until they go into the fucking portal.
So when Cameron from Ferris Bueller is writing the Enterprise B?
Yeah. It was cool. That movie is just very uneven.
Yes.
You can tell that there were a lot of hands in the dough for that film.
Yes.
I think there's a problem with a lot of the Star Trek movies is that like the first one's biggest problem is that there were not enough hands in the dough because it was just Gene Roddenberry going like, show the Enterprise for 25 minutes and make no cuts.
going into a giant space of a vagina.
Yeah. So I think that was the biggest problem with the first film is that there were not enough hands in the dough.
One thing I've never done is I've never gotten high and watched the director's cut of your Star Trek.
You'll just fall asleep.
I don't think so.
You'll be like, V'ger is cool.
Maybe.
It will be like NyQuil. Like,
maybe.
No question. There's too much nothing and then just like soft ambient sound. It's designed to put you to sleep.
Wow. Yeah. Wait, no, that's like the probe from 4 like the big one like that.
Yeah, no. There's just the ambient space sound and like the ship.
2 was great because they did it on a budget of like $10,000.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
Yeah, it's fucking phenomenal. 3, I there are parts of 3 that are great. I think it would have benefited from having Kirstie Alley back.
Yeah.
As what's her face?
Yeah.
Not Valeris, because she's from 6. And plus the plot was really weird. It was definitely weird. Yeah, it's a little on the weird side. 4 is.
But Star Trek's always kind of like Star Trek gets away with weird because like everyone every time someone says something, oh, I didn't like this. This was too stupid in Star Trek, and I'm just like, yeah, but space hippies.
Yeah.
Like Star Trek has no real boundaries. I think the difference between the episode that I certainly and I'm sure you shit on the most and bring up the most in terms of shitty Star Trek episodes, Threshold, even that episode,
oh, from Voyager,
yeah, even that episode conceptually could have been written in an interesting and produced an interesting and entertaining story. The concept is not stupid, and most of the time people like hurt, like they shit on the concept, and I'm like, no, the concept of going so fast you like hyper evolve is crazy and interesting and could have been done in the most bizarre and like weird. They could have done some weird ass fucking shit, but they took a highbrow idea and lowbrowed it.
Yeah.
So I don't think
they turned it into a body horror.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, and the worst part about that is that you can't top Menagerie for body horror. Like it's already, or is it Zoo? What's the name of the episode where the Next Generation crew gets infected by that thing that starts turning them into hybrids?
Oh yeah, the Menagerie was from the original series. I don't remember what the one from the Next Gen was called.
Well, that one.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
That's the ultimate body horror Star Trek episode. Maybe not ultimate, but it's definitely one of the best
ones. Yeah, it's pretty high up there.
There's a lot of body horror in Star Trek.
Yeah.
It really is. And like, if you're not going to do body horror at least as good as the episodes that have already existed.
I think there's nothing more horrible than that guy who wore the skirt in the pilot episode.
the best was he like takes that like step. There's that the steady cam shot on the hallway. He just like stops and turns and like looks directly down the hall. And it's like a full body shot of his weird skirt thing. And like, I don't think the outfit was as bizarre as like.
If he just wore pants, it wouldn't be bizarre.
That specific. That guy wearing that skirt.
Like a big muscle dude.
Yeah, he was jacked, and it looked very odd on his body. The proportions were strange.
If he just had pants on, no one would care.
Or like the polypeptide cake, in Data's dream.
Oh yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, cutting fucking Deanna Troi's body in its cake. That's pretty fucking weird. That's some body horror right there.
And yeah, it would be weirder if Tom Petty didn't do it and Don't Come Around Here No More video.
Did he do it first, though?
Yeah, that was way before.
Are you sure?
Positive. That video, Don't Come Around Here No More, was like mid-80s.
Are you sure?
I will check this,
sir. You should check.
All right.
I'll look up the episode of Star Trek time. You look up the Tom Petty video. This is riveting. Everyone's. I'm looking up the Star Trek timeline. It's Deanna Troi cake, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 85. Okay. Damn.
I told you it was mid-80s.
I saw it mostly in the 90s, like on Beavis and Butthead and stuff. All right. It's Phantasms is the episode.
It's a great name.
It was a great fucking episode. This is one of the best episodes. 93.
I knew it was because Star Trek didn't come. Next Gen didn't come out until what? 87.
Yeah.
So it would have been later.
Well, I mean, it wasn't even close. It could be parallel thinking. It's pretty fucking.
Not
gross,
that
though.
Tom Petty didn't steal that from Alice in Wonderland to begin with.
Also true.
Yeah.
This is just a fucking weird. Like her goddamn body's a cake. It's fucked up.
Well, he answers a phone that's in his own stomach.
I do. I like that he like. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. That'd be better if you went yellow.
Yeah. Like, what's up, buddy?
Daddy here.
Daddy here. It's good.
All right, so on my end, at least with some gaming stuff, I got my printable sceneries Kickstarter in.
Oh, your dwarves and elves.
Dwarves, elves, demons. I ended up going in all in. I don't remember if I said that on the last podcast. I went all in just because they had so much shit. If you went all in, for the price, it was worth it. The amount of STLs. I've started printing some of the stuff. It's really cool. I highly recommend their stuff. If you are doing 3D printing with terrain, it's some of the best. However, to put it in perspective too, it's super complicated terrain in that it will take forever on your printer to print. Some terrain, like I keep all my printing at optimal levels, like super fast. Some prints for people take a long ass time. Mine will take a quarter of the time that theirs do. And even my printing schedule will still take about probably a whole day to print, you know, whatever you're working on. Like I did a castle tower. It took about 24 hours to print total. And that's a long fucking time. And a lot of material as well. They're solidly made and they're solidly designed. I can't say anything wrong about the way that they're designed. But
I mean, the renders and stuff looked good in the Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And plus, if you're a Skaven player, there's a bunch of pseudo Skaven stuff in there. That's not Skaven, but that's a Screaming Bell, man. That's a Screaming Bell.
Screaming Bell's pretty cheap. I was kind of surprised. It's not that expensive.
Well, you can get, especially on eBay, because they were part of the starter set for so long.
Yeah.
And the Plague Sensor.
Yeah, the Plague Furnace.
Plague Furnace, that's what it is. That was also part of it. So you could just get that for next to nothing as is.
Cheap.
Cheap, cheap. What else did I want to talk about? Anything else that we need to talk about?
I don't know. Do you want to defy my ability to complete all my models once again?
You're not going to do it.
Oh, I'm doing it.
I actually...
I said I'm going to do it with time to spare.
One of my... I'm paring down some models again. I started selling Steve some of my Babylon 5.
You selling Babylon 5?
Babylon 5!
but how? How will you now have political discussions?
I'm getting rid of some of the more esoteric fleets in my Babylon 5 collection.
I see.
If it sells for the amount that I want it to sell for, I will continue to do that. I found two Inquisitor models. The 54mm Inquisitor models that I'm also selling.
Nice.
I went, where the fuck did these come from? I thought I got rid of all my Inquisitor stuff years ago, but...
I only ever had a couple Inquisitor figures. I got them because I thought they were cool. I had no intentions of ever playing that game.
No, because the game was terrible.
I didn't even know if the game was terrible or not. Just I figured...
Into his crotch.
72mm models? Nah, 54. Nobody's playing that game. Whatever. Too big. One's playing the game. Cool models. No one's playing the game.
I believe Inquisitor was great because it allowed you to target people's crotches.
That's pretty sweet.
Yes. It was like, because it was body, like you targeted when you attacked. So kind of like Fallout. Like yeah. when you would pick where you're shooting.
In the groin.
Yeah. You would literally be like, I'm going to use my drill attack into this guy's groin. Nice. And they'd be like, okay, you'd have to roll against his groin armor. So a smart player in Inquisitor would always beef up the groin armor.
Makes sense. Yes. Everyone wants the nut shot.
Everyone wants the nut shot.
You're not wrong.
But yeah, so I found that in my stores, and I was like, what the fuck?
In your horde? In your Smaug's horde?
Well, I was going through there because I'm looking to start my next kind of old hammer army. I finished off my dwarves. I think I have 5 slayers left to paint, and that's it. So once I'm done with those 5 slayers, I'm moving on to a different army. Oh, 5 slayers and Craggy from my Anvil of Doom.
Yes.
I'm moving on to the next army. I think it's going to be Wood Elves.
Okay.
Because Wood Elves were my first army in fantasy. I've always loved playing Wood Elves, painting Wood Elves. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go back. I'm going to do my Wood Elf army. I have to... the only thing that I'm kind of mad about is in the current rules, there are no rules for the Warhawk Riders.
Are you sure?
At least in the current...
Are you sure they don't have a weird name?
No, they don't. I was looking on the current on the Azure. They do not have Warhawk Riders on there, which
That's
is
surprising.
Upsetting to me. You could use, like... I was looking for, like, the tree kin and stuff like that, and you could just use whatever the fucking current tree army Sylvaneth are using. I still don't know. How do fucking people play Sylvaneth? What the hell's wrong with them that you're playing a tree army?
They're really good.
These are playing goddamn trees.
They're really good. They're strong as fuck.
They're not even Ents.
There are sort of Ents, like the tree mans. Tree mans are basically
Ents.
Yeah,
they don't look cool like the Ents. Like Treebeard. Cool, Treebeard looks fucking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Ents look cooler, but I mean, they're strong as shit. Like, you use the fucking chick riding the beetle and a bunch of trees. And then the tree ghostmen. The ones that are like the wood elf ghosts sticking out of the trees.
I hate that goddamn beetle.
I love the beetle. He's so cool.
There's nothing else like it in the army. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, it's unique because it's a special character ridden by a god.
The god is cool, but she should be riding on something that's thematically similar to the Sylvaneth. If there's anything else in the Sylvaneth army, like, oh, there's a swarm of beetles that are part of your army that you could take.
I don't know.
That's great. You could take that.
I don't know, man. There's lots of things that are riding. There's lots of big things that are riding.
It's like the Jabberslythe. The Jabberslythe looks nothing like anything else in the Beastman army.
It's a weird model.
And someone sculpted it and they were like, oh, that's a cool model.
But Beastmen also can use the cockatrice and all the weird animals are in the Beasts of Chaos list.
Yeah,
like,
but
all the weird ones.
But
like
that was a model that was specifically
thing.
Sculpted for the Beastmen release in 8th edition or 7th edition. I don't remember which one. I think it was 7th. And they were like, they just released this model that looked nothing like any of the other Beastmen. At least the majority of the models looked like Beastmen. It was very annoying. Remember the Razor Gourd and looked like Pumbaa?
Warhawk Riders, minimum 1, maximum 6, 40 points.
Is that in there?
It's in the Wood Elves compendium list.
Is it not an army builder?
I don't believe the compendium lists are in the army builder.
Okay, so that's why I didn't see
but
that.
But they are in there. You can find that. There's no substitute for playing them with the new stuff, but if you play the Wood Elf thing, they're in there. They have War Scrolls and everything right here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Warhawk Riders, etc.
I only go off the army builder.
The PDF is like, you can find it super fast. If you actually look for Warhawk Riders Age of Sigmar, it's like one of the first results is this thing.
The second result. There was one of the local stores by us has they do buy-ins. People sell their old Warhammer stuff to the store and they sell it used. Some guy brought in an old 4th, 5th edition Wood Elf army. And I was
Did you buy it?
I was so close. I was like, I do not need any of these models. I already have a Wood Elf army. It's completely different looking than this army. I will not spend my money on this army.
Nice.
All right. So do we have anything else that we need to talk about?
Nope.
Did you see Aquaman yet?
No.
I've not seen Aquaman yet. Did you see the trailer for...
I don't see a lot of films.
Speaking of H.P. Lovecraft, have you seen...
The trailer for Us?
No, not the trailer for Us.
Oh, because that movie looks fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's not really Lovecraftian.
I don't know. Well, it's because it's he's got that Lovecraft Country show, which is coming out at some point.
Yeah. I started reading the book. I thought the book was really good. And then I found out it was written by a white guy, and I was kind of like, fucking white people. I just hate
Jordan
white
Peele's not a white dude.
I know, but the guy who wrote Lovecraft Country is.
I really want to know if that dude was accusing us of being racist because of our firmly held beliefs against other white people.
That's what I'm wondering about.
I got to know.
you hear that, white people?
Maybe it was all your knocks on the Brits.
That's what I was kind of thinking it might be. I wonder if he was a British guy.
I bet you he is. I bet you he's accusing you of being racist towards British people.
Not just British people, English people. I like Scots.
Is some Scot going to take real offense to that because you called them British?
Well, they're from the British Isles,
right? But wouldn't you call them Scottish?
No. Well, you could call them Scottish, but British people, Britain, Great Britain, the island. Is Wales, England, and Scotland?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And
well, I don't know. I don't know what the. I don't know if there's maybe like a little bit of like friction there, or like people want like don't call us English, etc.
Well, I wouldn't call a Scottish person English. I'd call them from the United Kingdom. I'd also call them. I guess if the term British, I wonder if they would take offense. I don't know necessarily. I don't think they would, because the British Isles are Ireland and England and all the little one like. The Isle of Man and Manx and Jersey and Guernsey and all that fun stuff. All the ones that are named after cows, or cows are named after.
Holstein.
Holstein. No, that one's German.
Yeah, I figured.
Yes. The English are the ones with the terrible food. Scottish people don't have great food either, but...
I don't know. They got pretty good cheese.
Haggis.
You know, everyone always talks about haggis being gross. I've never eaten haggis.
I have,
but it doesn't sound like it. Like
it's not.
It just sounds like a fucking hamburger.
It
sounds like hamburger. Hamburger. It sounds like hamburger. Like when you like a hamburger helper. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. It's not anything like that, but it's fine. I enjoyed it when I had it. I don't know if it was like really authentic.
I generally had it in Indianapolis,
so it doesn't really count if it's.
Yeah, it's probably not. I do very much try to avoid non-seafood for the most part. I try to stick to shrimp, salmon, tuna, that kind of stuff for my protein. Other than that, or like tofu.
Well, you're on the crazy stupid diet, so.
I mean, it's also just not good for you to eat that kind of meat. It's better for you to have fish.
Listen,
proteins.
I get the power of the cow that I eat. Do you get the power of the cow? You get the power of fish. That's great if you're in water. We're not in water, Steve.
I mean, I could be.
You could be. Yeah. Like when you're at the beach, I'd have some ceviche. I get the power of the fish. I'm in the water. I can fight off a shark.
What about the tofu? What power am I getting then?
You're getting the power of being a soy boy.
I fucking love tofu. It's so good.
You're being a soy boy cuck.
I love tofu. I don't like soy milk though. So My milk substitute of choice is actually macadamia milk.
You know what I actually...
It's quite decadent.
It's quite decadent.
It's not. It's like super low calorie somehow.
Super
like,
decadent.
I was kind of shocked because macadamia nuts are so calorie dense in terms of like all of the various nuts there are. I assumed incorrectly...
I want to hear about your nuts, Steve.
The macadamia nut milk would be way more calories, but it's not. It's really not.
You know what I like soy milk in? I like it in a good chai.
Yeah, I mean, fine. That it works. It works. Soy is a little bit sweet.
It's sweet.
It pairs well with sugary shit.
Yeah.
So.
Well, chai's not really sugary.
Well, I mean, if you're getting it from Starbucks, it's fucking sugary as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Some gaming stuff that I did think about just now. I don't know. I was thinking about decadence, but the they showed off the new fantasy box set that they're going to sell out for Age of Sigmar, and it's going to be. Ghouls versus Skaven.
Oh,
Skyre.
Yes, the Carrion Empire.
It's
a cool name for a box set.
Yeah. Really, they're just two new characters in the box that are coming out.
Again, it's another one that's a really good deal if you know someone who wants to split with you.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
The undead are really good in that box set. That's a really good deal you're getting out of there.
The Skaven is really good too. You get three of the Storm Fiends.
Yeah,
Fiends are expensive.
But Storm Fiends come in boxes of three.
I thought they came in boxes of two.
Maybe they come in boxes of two. But yeah. I thought they came in boxes of three.
I thought Storm Fiends came in boxes of two.
To the internet! We've done that three times this episode.
Hey,
we gotta put a cap on that.
You know? There's no cap. There's no cap allowed. Because you know what our listeners demand? They demand accuracy. And you know how they demand that accuracy? By listening to us Google things.
Storm Fiends box. No, you get three.
All right, fair enough. Well, you still get the whole... I mean, it's still an expensive box.
Yeah, and I think you get it for, like... I think they're, like, 50 or 60 for that, which is, like, half the price. It's, like, getting that alone is, like, going to be half the price of the box set as is. So, yeah, the Storm Fiends are the best part of the Skaven deal. You get the Doom Wheel and
They're worth splitting it for just the... Like, it's worth splitting it for just the Storm Fiends.
Yeah.
Like, if you split the box with a buddy...
Storm Fiends and the new character.
You're already like, in quote-unquote, in profit... Just for getting the Storm Fiends. So I love their box sets. I think they're great.
They've
all been great. Like every one of their box sets, the two player ones, if you can find someone to split, they're always a really good deal.
Yeah, they really are. I do. I saw that they were releasing that one. What else came out of that that fucking press conference? It was kind of dumb. It was. Not a lot of cool.
There was that weird 40K thing. There was like more. Was it more stuff for
Vigilus?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, they got a new character for Vigilus coming out. They finally showing off that they're
Vagilus,
the Vagilus. Yeah, it was mostly about the Carrion Empire stuff. I think was the big thing, which goes as Steve pointed out that. If that's coming out, then that means they're probably going to be releasing a Skyre book.
Yeah.
So, which would be cool, because I got a shit ton of Skyre stuff.
It just makes the most sense, because it would fall in line with the way they've done their box sets already. Like, they do a box set that has two established factions, or two factions in them. One of them gets a book shortly after. Like, when they did the Skitarii and Necron box, like, shortly after that box came out, bam, Necron Codex.
Yeah, and when they did the plague, the Nurgle Storm,
yeah, Blight War.
Blight War.
Nurgle book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got so excited when that Nurgle book came out. Remember
I'm still excited about it.
Remember how big of a boner you got about the Nurgle stuff?
I do. I'm looking at Nurgle models right now.
Oh man, that Nurgle stuff.
I'm actually hoping for some good love for some of their weaker, like it's kind of like I don't It's weird because I think Nurgle is top tier in Age of Sigmar. I think they're one of the strongest armies in the game. Just by merit of like they play the game very well. They don't have stuff. They don't have like, they don't beat you over like the death of like special like Nagash. They don't have just shit that's like so grotesquely overpowered where you're like holy fuck. But they're just good, and they're like everything. They don't have anything that's less than a B.
Did you see the Rotkin model that there was in the newest issue of White Dwarf?
Yeah, he's fucking cool as shit.
That's a great conversion.
The problem I have with like I feel like having being the guy who has it all asking for more, but like there's some of the Nurgle stuff that's like pretty mediocre and not so great. So
we'll see what General's Handbook says.
I hope that they make some of the stuff better, and mostly it's just points cost because like the beasts of Nurgle are a little too expensive of points, and the Blight Kings on flies are way too expensive in points.
If I made little resin wieners that I casted, would you put them on your plague bearers?
I wouldn't because they're already painted, but. If you also gave me new plague bearers to build, I would build them with new wieners.
I think I should just do that. Conversions for fantasy figures. Just wieners for fantasy figures.
Just wieners. Like, sell them. Oh, 3D print them. 3D print a sprue of wieners.
Too small.
You can't print a sprue?
It's really small to print out wieners. I mean, if I had wieners. Oh,
make
giant wieners.
Yeah, make them giant. There's no problem with that.
Wiener conversions for your figures. Wieners. Ogre wieners. Storm fiend wieners. Storm cast wieners.
And then
cast don't got wieners.
Sigmar
takes their wieners.
What's the big demon engine? The soul grinder wiener.
Soul grinder.
Yeah, soul grinder wiener. Wieners for all the big monsters. Wieners for your terrorgeists. Wieners for your
just wieners
your
for
wyverns.
See how many I could sell.
Wieners for your Jabberslith.
Jabberslith wiener. Oh, man. Oh, and also gaming stuff. We didn't talk about this. I've meant to talk about this on the last two podcasts. Warlord Games is putting out Erewhon, is a fantasy game that they're doing. It's kind of weird. Not really sure how it's going to play, what's going to be about. I haven't even had a chance to look at the rules. Two box sets. One is the multi-part plastic orcs, which look like old Lord of the Rings orcs. Not like the movie Peter Jackson orcs. I'm talking like if you go back to, was it Mithril Miniatures who did the Lord of the Rings?
Mithril.
Yeah, it looks like, oh, Harlequin. Old Harlequin orcs. That's what it looks like. But they're multi-part plastics. And they're doing multi-part plastic skeletons, which will look a lot like the old GW ones. So if you still got, like, for some odd reason, you still need skeletons for your army for rezzing, that's a good place to get them because they're fairly cheap on there. And they look good, too. Those skeletons look good. Then they're probably not, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 6 piece plastic skeletons.
Although the Vampire Counts ones, the newer ones aren't.
No, the newer ones are only like 2
they're
part.
They're like 2 part, yeah. Yeah. It's usually like a body and like maybe 2 arms. Oh, no, two arms. So they're 3 parts, I think.
Yeah.
I think they are just body, arms, maybe head. I don't know. But they're not, you don't have to glue their torso onto their legs.
Yes, which was always the hardest part because you had to do it
brutal.
Just on the spine.
And there's that tiny little bit where you join it. If you get it wrong when it dries, their like spine is facing the wrong
way. It looks so bad.
It's awful. Yeah, it sucks.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's why I said when before the Tomb Kings were discontinued, I was always thinking it was too expensive, so I never did it. But I was always thinking like, if I did this army, I would make all of my skeletons out of the Tomb Guard models. Just everything is a Tomb Guard model. I thought it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
it would be ludicrously expensive. But it'd be cool. Also, it would leave me at a loss for what to do with the actual Tomb Guard I needed. Because generally you need a unit of Tomb Guard in your Tomb Kings list. Yeah. So it's kind of like, I don't know what to do.
You know, I had a great conversation, kind of tangential to what you're talking about. Because we were talking about the Beastmen release. I was hanging out with some XGW guys and we were just talking about like, can you believe that they released the Beastmen book when 90% of the models that you need for that army are all direct order only? Like they're all metal or resin now or whatever have you.
They have the Great Star collecting box. Like they made the stuff that is available better.
Yeah. So on the web store you could get Centigors and all that for a limited time and get everything you needed.
Yeah.
But it's like it's kind of bizarre that they would put out a book with a bunch of shit you really can't get in the stores. I just thought it was an interesting move.
I think it makes sense because I think that's an army. I think that's them like it's twofold. One, it's catering to people who have bigger, older collections because like there were a lot of people who played Beastmen. That was a very popular army.
Beastmen dongs.
Two,
Beastmen wieners.
Well, yeah, Beast wieners. Bweeners.
Ungor wieners.
Bweeners.
Unweeners.
Ungweeners.
Ungweeners.
Centigweeners. But the thing about that, the other thing too is they were able to successfully launch a new army and have like enough stuff for you to buy if you hadn't played the army before, because the bulk of your army is still going to be the stuff that's found in the Star Collecting box. It's just the plastic stuff. So the Minotaurs, Star Collecting, like your army is highly unlikely to be a huge amount of those direct order stuff. Those are like those are the seasoning.
Yeah, that is the seasoning. Because yeah. I mean, like most of the stuff, Dragon Ogres.
Yeah, they're available as plastic hits.
The Giants, the Minotaurs, the Gores, the Ungores,
yeah,
they're all plastic.
You can get them as plastic hits, so like the majority of your army is still going to be an easy-to-acquire plastic, but maybe you'll have like, maybe you will get the Jabberslith, and have that one Jabberslith. But I think that they really made the Gargant dudes, like the big Minotaur Giant guys, they made those guys very appealing. Much stronger, much, you know, a lot more impactful in the game. I thought that release was pretty impressive. Not quite as impressive as the Goblins release. That army is awesome.
So many people are drooling over that
fucking
Goblin's Army.
Every single Facebook group I'm in that has anything tangentially related to fucking Age of Sigmar, everyone's looking for goblins.
Yeah.
I was like, and I'm just like, man.
Hey, man, you got some goblins?
But you know the best part about this? There is actually something. I was thinking about it. I've galaxy-brained this. In the time it's going to take me to finish my models and get everything done, by that time, it will have been the full cycle where there's now going to be people who fully assembled their goblin armies.
Who don't want to play them
don't
anymore.
Don't want them anymore. And they're assembled. And I'm going to be able to buy a complete giant goblin army for next to nothing.
My favorite part about that is the people who are looking for the old Blackfire Pass. Skull Pass. The Skull Pass Gabos.
You mix that with Black Reach.
Yeah, no, it was Blackfire Pass was an old. That's for a different time.
Oh, because Black Reach was the 40K box set at the time of Skull Pass.
Yes, the battle for Blackfire Pass was.
Wasn't that one of the battles like in the historical?
Yes, that was the big Empire one, and we were going to do a Forgeworld book on it for Tamarkan after Tamarkan, but Tamarkan sold so poorly that they didn't release it. So there's a bunch of Forgeworld models that were never released that were supposed to be covered inside that release book for Blackfire Pass. There was like conversions for your greatswords, for the Empire greatswords that were resin that were going to be so that you could make them Reichsguard knights on foot.
That's pretty ridiculous.
I know. I was super excited about it.
How many did you get?
I had none because they were never released.
I thought they'd... Oh, no, those are the Fishmen.
The Fishmen?
There's the dude... The comp...
Blades of Manon.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, no. So anyway, the people who are going to get all those goblins are going to get all those goblins, and they're going to realize that you probably only need like a unit of 30 in your army.
No, they're goblins
maybe
are 40. 40s.
Yeah,
goblins are 40s.
Yeah, maybe you get a unit of 40 in your army.
You'll want 40 because I haven't seen the new rule book, but like if they're anything like the orcs, you get you get bonuses based on increments of unit size. So, like, a unit of 30 orcs is significantly better for your army than a unit of 20. So, like, you never want to go minimum. It's always, like, max.
Yeah. So, let's say you get a unit of 40. That's all you're going to need because all the rest is going to be, like, fucking squigs and everything else. Or trolls or whatever have you. So,
I love those giant trolls with the fucking mushrooms on them.
I just want to fucking do an army of trolls. I don't want to do any of the goblins. Just give me the...
You can. There's a troll special character.
The troll special character can lead your army, turns your trolls into core or battle line, so you can run a fucking troll army. That's fucking awesome.
Motherfucking trolls.
And it's not just the trolls in the new release. You could also use river trolls as part of that as well.
Yep. Well, it's cool because the only other troll army was the chaos one, which was just chaos trolls.
Yeah.
And it was kind of lame.
With Throg?
It was kind of lame that chaos got that before... orcs and goblins.
Whatever. All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for... Wait, you know what? I have to do a new one now because we're getting rid of Planet Arbitrary. Planet Arbitrary is dead.
No more Plarbitrary.
There's no more Planet Arbitrary. There's no more sister podcasts. Pat's going on a sabbatical.
Sabbatical?
I think that's what he's calling it. I don't know if they announced that. Have you guys talked about that on Play On yet?
We have not.
Okay. So you didn't know about this?
I did know about it.
Okay.
But I have not.
I didn't know if you guys had talked about this.
No,
yet.
I think you've broken the news now.
Well, no, because they talked about it on Deconstructing Daycare.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
So, yeah. So, I mean, if you're interested.
Sabbatical.
He's going on sabbatical.
I like that.
So, once again.
Sabbatical.
The last podcast standing.
It's Game Classy.
It's Game Classy Podcast.
Woo! Boop, doop, 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 yeah, in case you're wondering about Weebtown, it's not for lack of my desire as much as recording is actually kind of annoying as shit and editing sucks.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that.
So
there's a reason why Joe puts up episodes and nothing's edited. Because it sucks.
It's like, why do I get in the same room as Steve and record? We sit down, like, your podcast is an hour, 10 minutes. Guess what? Me and Steve sat down together. We talked for an hour, 10 minutes. When I turned off the recorder, we talked about some stuff that doesn't have anything to do with gaming, and I left.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it.
Yep.
So there's not much involved with it.
Yeah, now I know why every podcast, YouTube channel, like, literally everything out there has a fucking editor.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I get you.
Yeah.
I get you.
I can edit if I wanted to. If I was making more money on this podcast, if I was making any money on this podcast,
yeah,
I'd probably do some editing, but I don't.
Right.
The only reason I do this podcast, get into Gen Con for free, pretty much.
See?
Yeah.
It all comes down to that Gen Con.
The Gen Con. get the Gen Con.
I might go to Gen Con again sometime soon. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
annoying. Like, I have a feeling that I would relent and be like, you know what, I am going to go to Gen Con. And I would get it all set up and I would go and go by myself and like I'm going to have, you know, I'm just going to have some time to myself and play some games. It'll be fun. And I think I'll go and have a bad time. That's really what I'm genuinely concerned about it at Gen Con is like going and having a bad time.
Yeah.
Like just being like, fuck. And then like, cause then I would come and I know myself and I would destroy myself mentally for spending the money and having not a good time. And
then
because I know it all circles back around because now I know that I will destroy myself mentally for not having a good time because I spent all the money. I'll be so focused on trying to have a good time. I'll be anxious. I'll have anxiety about not having a good time.
No, I could see that, honestly.
Because, I mean, it's not a cheap trip.
For you, it's different, though, because you're going there. You and Cole might go. It might just be you. For me, it's a weekend away from my family. So for me, money's not an option.
It's a default.
it's just default.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm just like, get me out of here.
Yeah, because mostly it's like, I mean, it's not about not having the money or like not being able to afford it. It's like, man, I blew $600 on Gen Con and I had a shitty time. You know, that $600 could have been whatever the fuck else. Like, something superior to going to Gen Con and having a bad time. That's what I mean.
To me, just my wife would have blown it on my kids or something, or my kids would have blown
it
on whatever.
Luckily, I do not have damn wiener kids.
Yeah.
So that $600 is mine.
It's yours. All of it's yours. Yeah, I don't even spend that much money. I have everything that I want.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would pay for
until I went there and I saw like, ooh, Arsenal of the Dragon Lord.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna pay for the hotel. I'll probably do the short flight when I go. I don't want to do the car ride. I want to do the cheap. It's not that expensive. It's like $70. I looked at the tickets. It's $70 to fly.
Really?
Yeah, it was cheap as shit. I was like, oh no, fuck. It's a charter plane or whatever. It was not expensive.
If you do that, let me know. I might go in with you on that one. Yeah. We'll fly down to Gen Con.
Yeah, it was it was super, and it was like a fucking 40-minute flight.
Yeah,
it was like I was like, that sounds way better than sitting in the car for 5 hours.
I wonder if it could fly out of the DuPage County Airport.
I think I don't know. I'd have to. It's been years since I've looked, but I'll take a look again. But like, I was shocked by
how now that the government's shut down, we don't have to worry about the. We don't have to worry about anything.
That's true. We could just bring booze. They're never gonna be able to stop all the liquid we're bringing on.
Yeah, we could bring
a liquid.
We could bring all the liquid we want. We could be like Johnny Depp and Blow, just like walking out the plane, like bam, black buddy, bam, bam, black buddy, bam, bam, black buddy, head top, bam, bam, bam. We could dress like 1980s drug dealers.
Hell yeah, we could be 1980s drug dealers.
Caribbean queen,
Caribbean queen, how the heavens are dancing.
I don't know the words.
I don't know the songs either. I just make a vague Michael McDonald sounding noise.
Yeah. I don't even think it's Michael McDonald who sings that.
No, it's not.
No.
But he's always the go-to.
We'll get off the plane and like we'll have the big sunglasses on.
I think he might have done a cover of Caribbean 80s, Queen.
And then like we'll have the white suit jacket.
With the inner shirt of the Hawaiian inner shirt.
I would go with more of a pastel t-shirt or tank top.
I'll go with the flowery Hawaiian inner shirt.
Okay, I'll go with a pastel tank top underneath the white suit jacket
and
white pants.
I'll have like 70 gold chains. And I will be greasy as fuck, like unreal greasy.
I'll just have the 80s mustache.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll put a little.
I'll get my beard curled into those like,
So you're going for more of like a Persian type thing.
Yeah, like a greasy Persian like drug dealer from the 80s.
I'm gonna put a little activator in my hair, make it a little
see,
curly, little
it'll
shiny.
It'll be better as a pair because we'll have some juxtaposition.
Yeah,
you know they'll be like, what's up with that Persian guy and that sleazeball? Like that. That's what I want. I don't want to be like, look at those two sleazeballs. Be like, those two guys look like drug dealers. I want there to be the differentiation.
Yeah.
So like you get a better descriptor.
Because Gen Con's not till August, and the country will still be shut down by August.
Most likely,
yeah. We can open, like, we'll come out with our case, like we'll have our cases, and it's just GW cases.
Nice.
Exactly.
It's just cocaine in the shape of miniatures. They're just all made of straight up coke.
Age of Sigmar cocaine, 10 times more powerful than marijuana.
Is there anything more fine in this world? I smash an Arcane model and just puffs into dust and I snort it.
It is 10 times more addictive than marijuana.
The power of the chaos gods flows through me.
Yeah, think about all this. I wonder if we could get away with stuff, because maybe like the FBI will be shut down by then.
I mean, we could go to a national park and fucking shit wherever we want. That's happening. Like, you can definitely do that right now. You can enjoy pooping wherever you want.
No one can stop you. You ever want to stick your finger up a bear's ass? You could do that now.
I will. You probably only be able to do that once.
But you'll be able to do
it. Do you think anyone ever successfully fucked a bear?
Oh, yes.
You think?
Yeah. 100%.
You sure?
Positive. If there is something alive, a person fucked it.
How? How do you fuck a bear and not get murdered?
Maybe the bear was sleepy?
Hmm.
I mean, a bear's probably got a female bear probably has a very large vagina / uterus. It might not even feel it.
Hmm.
Not that I know too much about that. But
no, I don't. I mean, that seems.
I'm just looking at size wise. I'm just assuming.
If one were looking at trying to combine the thrill of risking your life and the thrill of banging an animal, you could combine it by banging a bear.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a bear could kill you instantly in one swipe of its giant paw.
Yeah, but bears are kind of like a mixed bag. Like sometimes bears seem like really friendly. Like they're just after honey.
Yeah, well, that's how they are. Like, and it all depends on how hungry they are. All the circumstances, like, and what they want to fuck with. Because like, there's been you can see plenty of YouTube videos of like a giant fucking bear getting chased off by a small dog barking at it. Just they just don't want
to
fuck.
Yeah,
with it.
It's not like you're trying to fuck like a bobcat.
Yeah, well,
like,
a bobcat would just shred you.
Yeah, it'll kill you.
It might even kill you, but it'll shred the fuck out of you.
Yeah, or like a coyote. Coyotes are little murder machines.
Yeah. But coyotes are real thin.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's like a bear is a mixed bag. Like you be friends with the bear afterwards.
Maybe
the bear might let you ride it.
So what you're saying is that the bear might dig it.
Yeah.
All right.
You never know with a bear.
That's I like it.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
So anyway,
you know it's always going to end in bad times. Trying to fuck a beehive. That's never going to end in good times. That's a guaranteed failure.
Yeah. 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 So
possibly priapism.
I don't even know where to go.
You were trying to do the end reel.
Go to Game Classy Facebook page, Game Classy Podcast Facebook page. It's the best way to contact us, the best way to talk with us. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. Hey, and if you're going to comment on iTunes, please put the 4 stars on there. We kind of need it to balance out a couple of the bad ones we've gotten lately. So I'm not begging you to do it, but I'm asking you nicely. Put some good reviews for us. We could use it. We've been entertaining you guys for like, what, 6 years now?
It's been a long time.
We've
been doing this cast for a long time, and we've missed one episode, I believe.
No, we missed a couple.
I know we've had delays, but I believe we've only actually missed like one or two.
We've missed, I think it's been less than a half dozen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been getting us
pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good for like 5 years worth of doing podcasts.
It's pretty good.
Every other week. You could give us a good review. Please. For the love of God, give us a good review. You can also like, comment, subscribe on the YouTubes. We're not racist like some people on YouTube.
Unless to white people,
yeah.
Very racist towards white people.
Oh, I can't wait for the white genocide. Fucking can't wait.
There's a white genocide happening right now in Uganda.
It's turning the frogs gay.
It's turning the frogs. The already gay frogs are turning super gay.
You think that Alex Jones is resting a little easy now that there's a government shutdown so that the government can't turn the frogs gay anymore?
I think Alex Jones and anyone who follows Alex Jones is so incredibly stupid, because if you remember correctly, when Obama was in charge, Alex Jones thought the government could do nothing correctly, and now suddenly the government's right, even though nothing is happening.
Yes.
It's just, it's so fucking dumb. So fucking dumb.
And so, Steve, until next time.
People of the world, please stop casting your votes for stupidity.
Game Classy.